Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jad Bharat, text number 14. Is this what's on the board? 13 is on the board, is that right? Aha. Uh-huh. After I spent 3 hours studying number 14. Okay. Ayonya Vita Vyati Sangha Vrida Vairanubando Vivahan Mita Cha Advani Amushmin Urukritra Vitabara Upasargai Viharan Vipana Anyonya Vita Anyonya Vita Viti Sangha Vrida Vairanubando Vivahan Mitascha Advanya Mushmin Nuru Kritshavita Vadopasargai Viharan Vipana Anyonya Vita Vyati Sangha Vrida Vairanubando Vivahan Mitascha Advanyamushmin Nuru Kritshavita Vadopasargai Viharan Vipana. Dopasagarbi Anyonya Vita Vyati Sangha Vrida Vairanu Bando Viharan Matascha Advanya Mushmin Nurugra Krichaga Pandopasagar Viharan Vipana Anyonya Vita Vyati Sangha Vrida Vairanu Bando Viharan Matascha Yanda Mushmen Uru Krita Panto pasagar viharan vipana anyonya. With one another. Vita vyati sangha. By monetary transactions. Vrida, increased. Vaira anubandha. One is encumbered by enmity. Vivahan, sometimes marrying. Mita, one another. Cha, and. Advani, on the path of material existence. Amushman, that. Urukritstra, by great difficulties. Vitabhara, by scarcity of money. Upasargai, by diseases. Viharan, wandering. Vipana, one becomes fully embarrassed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to monetary transactions, relationships become very strained and end in enmity. Sometimes a husband and wife walk on the path of material progress. To maintain their relationship, they work very hard. Sometimes due to scarcity of money or due to disease conditions, they are embarrassed and almost die. Please repeat. Due to monetary transactions, relationships become very strained and end in enmity. Sometimes a husband and wife walk on the path of material progress. To maintain their relationship, they work very hard. Sometimes, due to scarcity of money or due to disease conditions, they are embarrassed and almost die. Srila Prabhupada's purport, in this material world, there are many transactions between people and societies, as well as between nations. But gradually these end in enmity between the two parties. Similarly, in the marriage relationship, monetary transactions are sometimes overpowered by the dangerous conditions of material life. One then becomes diseased and monetarily embarrassed. In the modern age, most countries have developed economically, but due to business exchanges, relationships seem to be strained. Finally, wars are declared between nations, and as a result of these upheavals, there is destruction all over the world, and people suffer heavily. Mom Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Satarne. Prahlad Maharaj says, Vitirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam Adanta gobhira vishitam tamizram punak punas charvita charvananam. That everyone feels himself in difficulty in the material world. The very material existence is difficult. Because although we're looking for some permanent place of happiness, first of all, nothing here is permanent because at every moment everything is changing. And anyone who has any intelligence can notice that things are never the same, nor can we accurately predict exactly what's going to happen even the next moment. Nor can we even remember what happened the last moment. Therefore, we're in a very precarious position. And in order to solve that precarious position, which is more or less what everyone is trying to do, generally people's time is divided up either to solve their difficulties, or what they expect to be difficult in the future, or they're trying to forge ahead and try to create a comfortable position in the midst of an uncomfortable position. In other words, if we were actually comfortable, there would be no need to work hard to create a comfortable position. But as Prahlad Maharaj said, generally speaking, the very means that people use to create a comfortable position makes them very uncomfortable. For instance, in modern society, especially in the Western society, as opposed to most countries in the world, America is one big super mall where you can go in any city. There's always some place you can go and buy practically everything you want or anything you can imagine or things that you didn't even imagine. Most of the products we didn't imagine, but someone created them and then made it or put within our mind the idea that this is actually a necessity, and either you can live peacefully or happily without whatever it may be. Beginning with probably 2 years old or 3 years old, the commercials aimed at the children on television are just meant to put them into a frantic or a maniac state of mind so that they spend the rest of their time bothering their parents to buy whatever appeared on the television, however useless it may be. Therefore, people more or less think that by some material arrangement, either they can avoid distress or they can find happiness. Either they try to figure it out collectively or individually or by a combination of both. There are so many self-help books, even books how to learn Sanskrit in 30 days, or learn any ancient language in 30 days. Of course, if anyone's foolish enough to buy the book, expecting that in 30 days they're going to learn Sanskrit, then they deserve getting cheated like that. In any case, Prahlad Maharaj said, they're looking for every solution except for becoming Krishna conscious. They think that Krishna conscious is not a very practical solution as compared to the attempts. And here it says, either to make money. In other words, people, what does money represent? Money represents the idea of a material arrangement, that by money I can make so many arrangements. I can have heat in my house. I can have a house. And in the house, I can have heat in the house. Or I can have air conditioner. Or I can have food in the house. Unless I have money, then, or some material arrangement to get money, or value of money, such as food, or clothing, or shelter, then I cannot protect myself, and I can't protect myself, this body, then I'll be in a miserable state. Never mind that even if I do protect this body in so many different ways, I'm still in a miserable state anyhow. But we think I'll be in less a miserable state, and that we equate with happiness. But in spite of all the attempts to try to find a perfect material arrangement, generally speaking, we've simply made things more complicated. Krishna never said that we should imitate an avaduta, a self-realized person, and live naked in the jungle. But he didn't advise either that we build huge skyscrapers. In other words, what is the value of the current so-called economic development? Big buildings, so many roads for cars, etc. Huge armies to support the oil, to make sure we get the oil and other things. So complicated. And at the end of the day, all we can do is sit down with our food and watch television and anxiety whether or not we're winning some war somewhere, whether I'm going to get another bite of food tomorrow. Previously, people could just grow some food in their backyard, harvest it, and eat it, and everything was solved. All their economic problems were solved. And generally speaking, because life was more peaceful and easy, they could spend a good amount of their time for at least some kind of religious principles. But nowadays, there is no religion, nor is there any understanding what the goal is, namely liberation, because people are consciously, purposely put into ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean that they don't know who won the last World Series. People think if you don't know who threw the final pitch in the last World Series, you're in ignorance. Not that kind of knowledge, but knowledge of how to become free from our bodily concept of life, and ultimately how to reestablish, how to realize a spiritual identity. That's the only knowledge that has any really lasting benefit for ourselves. Everything else is shrama evahi kevalam, more or less a waste of time. Unless it helps in the search and the realization of our spiritual activity, our spiritual identity and our spiritual activity. But because people don't know that the understanding is to become liberated from the bodily concept of life and to realize one's spiritual identity, therefore, they don't know what the purpose of life is. They think it's only economic development and sense gratification. And therefore, even the people who are the most economically developed have all opportunities to sense gratification. They're still not satisfied. So what is their solution? Generally, it's if they listen to the authorities, so-called authorities in modern society, it's to look for more economic development so that they could try to gratify their senses in a more expensive way. They think if I spend $100 a night on a hotel, I'll only get $100 worth of sleep. But if I spend $10,000 a night on a hotel, I'll get $10,000 worth of sleep. But it doesn't really work out like that. But they've been so fooled that they think that the goal of life is to sleep, and if I spend $10,000 on sleeping, then it's a much better sleep than if I only spend $100. Of course, the dog sleeping on the street, he has a free hotel there. It's all free. And even the people who sleep on the street, when they go to sleep, they probably sleep more peacefully because they don't have to pay for it. They don't have to worry about the bill the next day or the credit card or whatever else because they don't have a credit card and they won't have a bill. But because people don't know what the goal of life is nor how to achieve it, therefore they're restricted to simply adanta gobhir vishitam tamizram, trying to follow their senses in the hope that by following their senses they'll achieve something beneficial. Unfortunately, the way the material nature is worked out, the laws of material nature, means that it's not going to work out the way people hope it will work out. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobe vacha pramado moha tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. That is, if one works in the mode of goodness with knowledge, of understanding what the goal of life is and how to achieve it, then one becomes, he gains knowledge, jnana. But if one works to gratify the senses, what he gains is greed, to gratify them more. When we gratify the senses, they simply demand that they become gratified even more. And as we gratify the senses, after a while they no longer feel gratified no matter what we do, or we lack the means to gratify them, and then we become into the mode of ignorance where moha, we become bewildered and deluded, and we lose all our intelligence and we become completely mad and foolish. Karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasas tupalam dukam agyana tamasa palam. So the result of working in the mode of goodness is that one becomes purified and realizes one's spiritual identity and what the goal of life is and how to achieve it. then the path becomes enlivening and enlightening. And if one works in the mode of passion, the result is ultimately one becomes frustrated and unhappy. And one works in the mode of ignorance, he becomes completely crazy. People being misdirected, simply working to gratify their senses, they're gradually becoming more and more greedy, more and more unhappy, more and more mad and foolish. And therefore, civilization has become more and more degraded, so-called civilization. And it's all based upon this idea that by economic development, we can actually gratify our senses and reach the goal of life. Kamadinam katita katima palitas durni deshas tesha mai jatana karuna natrapa no pushanti. But one devotee, he prays, kamadinam kati katida palitas durni deshas. That in so many different ways, people are trying to gratify their senses. And yet they're never becoming gratified. And as the Bhagavad Gita says, they're simply becoming more and more greedy and unhappy and becoming more and more foolish. The result should be that people who have some intelligence, they should understand that their life will become more and more inauspicious and they'll simply be chewing the chew. So they should be informed that the goal of life is to become Krishna conscious, conscious of Krishna. And if they become conscious of Krishna, then the satisfaction in their hankering after will be obtained. Dharashaya ye bahya artamanina. Not simply going to the Kmart or the Walmart and buying things and therefore getting some kind of rush that I'm actually in control because I've conquered this thing and now I have it in my house and it's under my dominion. That kind of illusion is simply an embarrassment to the soul. Instead of taking home the Supreme Personality of Godhead and placing the Supreme Lord within the heart, one places some illusion with one's heart, and one winds up paying for a plastic French poodle. At the time of life, at the time of death, one becomes a real French poodle. So one should understand that these things are insignificant compared to actually what the real goal of life is. The real goal of life is to realize Krishna, who's unlimited. Unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited knowledge, everything we're searching for, but in an unlimited way, and also unlimited pleasure. And an unlimited ability, practically speaking, ever-increasing realization of that happiness and pleasure. So although it may be inconceivable to the soul who's entangled in material energy, but it becomes more conceivable as one approaches the mode of goodness and becomes peaceful and realizes that actually we can gain nothing in the material world because nothing will ever belong to us. It's all under the control of the material energy. Nor can we lose anything because if we never had anything to begin with, how can you lose anything? The only thing we can lose in the material world is our illusions, and the only thing that the real loss we have is the loss of our factual consciousness, of our actual awareness, reality. And the real gain is to become Krishna conscious. But because people don't know that, they make relationships based upon agreements to become materially successful, acquire material things, and then utilize those material things for their gratification, sense gratification, either individually or collectively. And the result is simply they become more and more disturbed. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that pravritim cha nivritim cha jana na vidur asura na sochim na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. People don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is found in them. Krishna points out these three important aspects of existence: cleanliness, truthfulness, and proper behavior. That if we can't act properly, then we're closer to the animals. What's considered proper is more or less to recognize that all living entities are just like ourselves. We should treat them with the same care and attention and concern and kindness and everything else that we desire. We should treat all other living entities in the same way. Not that we expect that everyone should treat me with care, kindness, respect, etc., and that I'll lord over and exploit others, devour them, annihilate them, whimsically do whatever I want with them, criticize them, attack them, and at the same time they should love me for it. That's America. Or any nation that becomes prominent. They think, let us go to this country, we bomb it, we destroy it, we exploit it, we do everything, we rape it, we pilgrimage it, and everyone should love us because we are what we are. And just by our presence there, they're becoming purified and successful just like we are. No, people hate anyone they'll be averse to anyone who doesn't treat them properly. But people don't know what proper behavior is because they're blinded by their own desires. And therefore they think proper behavior is to gratify my senses, and to do so I'll exploit others. And in the midst of that, there's neither cleanliness nor truthfulness. If one isn't exploiting others, either in ignorance or in passion, then the two most important brahminical qualifications will disappear. Everything that we'll be doing will be a lie. We'll be saying that we're working for other people's benefit, or I love you, or we're working for freedom, democracy, but it's all a lie. We're only working for our sense gratification. And we don't know what the truth is, even relative truth or objective truth. It'll simply, life will be just one lie after another. And cleanliness will mean that we wipe our hands on our shirt after we eat, even if our hands are clean. Just so our mother won't complain. We won't know what cleanliness is. Our minds will simply be covered by all kinds of horrible desires and conceptions of life, and our habits will simply be abominable. And we'll think that's enjoyment. So people will eat anything, they'll sleep anywhere, they'll have sex anytime with anything, and they'll think this is enjoyment because they're less than animals. So this is all because they've been bewildered by the illusory energy. Because they haven't accepted the real thing, therefore Maya gives them the false thing, and by following Maya, Maya gradually takes them down, 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 until they reach the darkness of ignorance, preparing themselves for the next change of body. But the solution is not simply to criticize them for their being in the modes of nature, but to offer them the opportunity to get out of the material nature through the process of gaining real knowledge and then applying that so that they can gradually, first of all, regulate their sense activities, then utilize their body for positive activities, then utilize their body, then be able to tolerate the impulses arising from their senses, the ones that are unnecessary, give them up entirely, take to the path of devotional service, gain real positive knowledge about themselves, ultimately to learn how to gain realized knowledge and meditate in trance upon the personality of Godhead. Then all their problems will disappear. And although others may advertise, this will help you, that will help you, but we can understand that there are simply also lost persons in the forest of material enjoyment, and the only thing that can really help people is to become Krishna conscious. Conscious of their relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna says, If they don't accept me, if they have all these concoctions which are rising out of their misbehavior and uncleanliness and lack of truthfulness, then asatyam apratishtam te jagat orhor anishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. They say that the world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So because they have rejected proper behavior, therefore their conception of God has become covered. Their understanding of the personality of Godhead and His relevance in their lives have become covered over. And therefore they concoct so many theories and ultimately winding up believing that the only thing left in life is to gratify the senses, Mayavadi philosophy, that there is no God or everything is void, leads one to simply think that the only thing left is to gratify whatever demands my senses have at the moment, with no clear goal in life other than to keep on gratifying the senses until the end of life. And what is the result? Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmanon abhudaya pravanyugra karmana shaye jigatohita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible, horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So that's modern society. The medicine they create is destructive. Even the food that their methodology of creating food, growing food, is destructive. Practically everything they do is destructive. They even purposely plan wars out to destroy whole countries, and then the same people who make the money from the military-industrial complex who make the money destroying other countries, then they also own the companies that reconstruct those companies, those countries. And they make money from the reconstruction. Break it down, make profit, and then build it up and make profit. And what do they do with their money? They simply buy more alcohol, more sex, more animal products, and they themselves simply dig a deeper ditch for them going to hell. And they think that this is progress, that they're doing something important in their lives and in the lives of others. Conclusion is, we have to be, as we all know, at the end of every class, everyone says, we have to become Krishna conscious, and we have to give people some idea that there is an alternative to modern society. And if we can't understand anything, we can't explain it any more deeply than that, then at least we should tell people to chant Hare Krishna. Because the chanting Hare Krishna is so powerful that some of the tendency towards unrestricted sense gratification and mental speculation will gradually diminish, and there will be some inclination towards trying to understand what a better path of life is other than simply gratifying the senses. They believe, chintyam apareyam cha pralayam tamupashitya kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nishita. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore, there can be no measurement for their anxiety. So at least if people chant Hare Krishna, take some prasadam, some new light, some new direction in their existence will be there, and they'll be able to understand that there is something positive we can do to help ourselves and others in this unfortunate Kali Yuga, where people are covered by darkness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? A few moments of silence for those who aren't in our class. Yes. What was that? Chant Hare Krishna. Distribute Prabhupada's books. Worship the deities. Other such processes. Read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. First, we have to stop it in ourselves. If we can't stop it in ourselves, we won't be able to become instruments for Krishna and stop it in others. So our first business is stop Kali Yuga, is stop becoming attached to the dictations of Kali that are within our hearts, and instead become attached to the instructions coming from Krishna through his representatives. As we become attached to the instructions coming through Krishna's representatives, then the result is that gradually Kali Yuga would be within our heart will be exposed for what it is, and we'll be able to give it up and accept something positive. And when we do that, then we'll be able to explain to others how they can do something similar in their lives. Or we'll become enthusiastic to help others also. But if we ourselves are bewildered, or we can see that we have enough intelligence to see the negative, that won't be sufficient. We also have to know what the positive is and explain it to people in such a way is that they become inspired to follow the positive. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.